Welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, a weekly news digest covering events in Israel. It's relevant and accurate information you need to know, direct from the Holy Land. You're listening to Front Page Jerusalem.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Front Page Jerusalem, the voice of Israel to the world, brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel in the city of the great king, Jerusalem. I'm Earl Cox.
I'm Ben Kinslow.
And I'm Kevin Howard in Jerusalem.
For the last few years, there's been much uproar throughout the Middle East. Israel is often the focus of finger-pointing for those who don't understand the region and what the central issues of this part of the world are really about. As Israel has commemorated 70 years of restoration, many around her continue to seek her destruction.
Well, that's true, Earl. And with the many recent political changes, it's getting harder for those who are against Israel to deny her legitimacy as a nation. However, that is already extremely difficult to deny when people understand the historical roots of God's chosen nation.
Historical roots, just as much as political policies, do work to confirm the legitimacy of Israel. For many, it's never been a question of legitimacy, but simply a question of whose hands are working. Recently, Danny Aiello, the former Israeli ambassador to the United States, gave a clear perspective on some of those thoughts at the CFI 70th Anniversary Conference in Jerusalem. Kevin Howard brings us that discussion in just a moment, but first, let's hear from the CFI Jerusalem News Desk, where David Milburn has the recent headlines from Israel. David?
Thanks, Earl. After thousands of acres of Israeli fields have been burnt in recent weeks by Gazan rioters, officials announced their intention to sue Hamas leaders at the International Criminal Court. The announcement comes after Palestinians announced that they had intended to take Israel to the ICC after the recent deadly clashes on the Gaza border. The Israeli farmers who are filing their lawsuit with the assistance of the Israeli Law Center are specifically targeting Hamas military wing leaders. It is the first legal response to the kite terror, which has become a source of extreme anxiety for farmers in the border vicinity. Among the plaintiffs are the security officer of Kibbutz Alumim and the agricultural director at Kibbutz Nir Am, who saw around 250 acres of wheat fields destroyed at his kibbutz in the last 2 weeks alone. Now, before we return to Earl and Ben, here's today's This Page in History.
On June 7, 1948, Edvard Beneš resigned as president of Czechoslovakia rather than signing a constitution making his nation a communist state. Beneš was one of the most decent and democratic leaders of his time. As a leader of the Czech government in exile during World War II, he condemned the treatment of European Jewry and supported a Jewish homeland in Palestine. Prague was the only European capital left almost unscathed during World War II, and Czechs began embracing democratic principles long before the Iron Curtain fell in 1989, as evidenced by the Prague Spring of 1968. This may explain the roots of why the Czech Republic is among those who did not vote in favor of condemning the U.S. decision to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. The Czech Republic and Slovakia are likely to be among additional nations that follow the U.S. and Guatemala regarding embassy moves from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Welcome back, everybody. For those who have long watched Israel as she grew as a nation will realize, the question of what mankind desires rarely seems to play out as expected. There's much that's fascinating in the history of Israel, and Danny Aiello recently shared his clear perspective on its importance today. Kevin Howard explains.
Thanks, Earl. This year's CFI Jerusalem Conference was held during the 70th birthday celebration of Israel's rebirth as a nation in 1948. As you mentioned, Danny Aiello, the founder of The Truth About Israel, addressed an international audience from more than 20 nations when they gathered in Jerusalem. Here's his most recent analysis of the current geopolitical situations concerning Israel, along with a little history.
Thank you so much. So let me start with a message about lions and lambs. You know that many years ago, there was this legendary Secretary of State, American Secretary of State. His name was Henry Kissinger. You've all heard about Henry Kissinger. Okay, he came to Jerusalem, not far from here, in 1974, right after the Yom Kippur War of 1973, and he tried to make peace in the region. He was really shuttling, very busy, between Jerusalem and Damascus and Cairo, trying to disengage the forces following this terrible war. And he was very busy all the time, and his staffers, which I have met in Washington many years later, made sure he would be very busy, because when he wasn't busy, he would drive them crazy. You know, he would always demand something for them to do. So here they wake up at the King David Hotel one morning, and they see 2 hours are blank, a window of 2 hours in the schedule. So they had to really scram and do something so he will be busy. And they decided to take him to the Biblical Zoo in Jerusalem. You know, we have a beautiful Biblical Zoo. So the Biblical Zoo, of course, Kissinger is very happy to go. He walks around after the 2 hours. They finish the tour at the lion's cage. You know, the lions here are all lions of Judah, because we are on Judean hills. And Judea. So he goes to this cage, and he sees a real big, ferocious lion playing very nicely with a little lamb. He could not believe his eyes. Turning into the keeper of the zoo, he says, "Please tell me, how did you bring this God's prophecy right here, that the lion will dwell with the lamb peacefully? Teach me, because I need to make peace in Vietnam at the time, here in the Middle East." And the zookeeper looked at him, not understanding why he's asking. And he's saying, "It is very simple. We just bring a fresh new lamb every day." Now, what is the moral to this story? We are really living God's words. And we are at His mercy and His will. And our destiny is what He carves for us. When Abraham just struck this covenant with God, not too far from here. You know the Moriah? You know the Moriah hills, the Moriah mountain is right where today the Golden Mosque, the Golden Dome is. But this is where two Jewish temples were erected and, of course, destroyed. Everything is written. You know, it's like you're going back into the Bible. You can not only look back, but also look into the future, because you know God's word is the truth. It holds, and it always is materialized. And right here, Abraham took Isaac to also to the slaughter, and of course was spared by God. But here, this is where the story all started. We here, as a Jewish people, we were formed as a people by Abraham when he left Mesopotamia, and by the order of God, came here to Zion. We have lived many years as a people, but not as a nation. The one who made us a nation with sovereignty, with a territory, with independence, was King David, who also lived right here, the city of David, not far from here. He is the one who really built Jerusalem as the capital of the Jewish people. And for 3,000 years, since we have become a nation, we held Jerusalem very true to our heart, whether we were here or whether we were scattered among the nations, which also was part of God's prophecy. But the vehicle, why were we scattered? Why couldn't we really stay here and defend ourselves against the heathens, against the Romans, against the Hellenistic people who say sacrilege the temple? And then, of course, the Muslims who came, and the Ottomans, and so on and so forth. It is because we did not have God's protection. We did not have God's protection for reasons which are obvious when you read the Bible. And we were at the mercy of all the nations of the world. We were dispersed far away from our land. In short, we could not defend ourselves. We were denied the ability or even the will to defend ourselves by ourselves. And today, the reason we can all sit here, right here in Jerusalem, Christians and Jews together, where we can see the miracle of God right here in Jerusalem throughout this nation, it's only because we can defend ourselves by ourselves. And we never forget that this ability, that this power is not ours. It's the Lord's. And this is why, you know, and it doesn't come, of course, easy. Today, we mourn all those soldiers that sacrificed their lives for this independence, for our ability to be able to defend ourselves by ourselves. And we stood here for a minute with a siren in the Wailing Wall for 1 minute with you, which we very much appreciate. Remembering that keeping something which is very dear to you, if you want to really fulfill and live a full life as God expects you to, there is some sacrifice. We have been willing to sacrifice, we are willing to sacrifice, and we will do it all the time, all the way to the future. This is the third coming. You know, we were expelled twice. We are here for the third time and the last time. That means we are here forever and ever. And the fact that we can defend ourselves, again, was not easy. We were played by nations of the world as this little lamb, but we have become the lion. And we have become the lion of Judah. And this is the message I want to tell you. Things have not become easy. Actually, more and more enemies have sprung up to defeat us, to throw us out of our land. But we win every time. Since we have had the third return here, which is the third house of David, and hopefully we'll see the third temple for the Lord, nobody can really take us on. Nobody can really push us out. And when you look at the history, only 70 years ago, Israel was, some say Israel was established 70 years ago by the United Nations. Not at all. Israel was reestablished as a modern country 70 years ago, but not by the UN. It was established by God.
For those who pray, it's clear that without prayer, Israel and the restoration of the Jewish people might not be where things are in history today. God is still active, He is still in control, and that is an assurance for all of us. But right now, we need to take a short break so that you can hear about a special outreach project of Christian Friends of Israel that's making a real difference for some very special people in the land of Israel today.
You're so excited, but so afraid. Ecstatic, yet worry fills your mind. The amazing engagement was 6 months ago, and now you're struggling financially. Searching for those wedding essentials that are so expensive. You immigrated less than a year ago, money is tight, and the wedding is looming with all of those extra expenses. One evening, a friend comes over and you talk. You hear about CFI's unique bridal salon. Is it possible? A top quality wedding gown to borrow? When you arrive for your appointment, the gracious coordinator greets you with a smile. Gowns in your size are already laid out and ready to try on. With a cheerful heart and a newfound friend at your side, the worries begin to fade. Then you see it, that perfect dress. It fits like it was made just for you. That is when you realize your needs have been met by the caring gifts of compassionate-hearted friends who truly care.
Christian Friends of Israel's project, Bridal Salon. Just one more way we're making a difference in Israel, one life at a time. For more information, go to frontpagejerusalem.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the continuing analysis from Danny Ayalon, taking a renewed look at some of the historical events in the founding and building of Israel when he spoke at the recent Christian Friends of Israel 70th birthday celebration in Jerusalem.
Israel was reestablished as a modern
country 70 years ago, but not by the UN. It was established by God. And unfortunately, too many in the United Nations, this glass building or tower, which I call sometimes the Tower of Babylon with all those languages, they don't have the Bibles there. I wish they had the Bibles there, then they would have understood better. But when we came back, what did we find here? We found desolate, derelict land. I mean, there was always a Jewish remnant here, always a Jewish presence, whether it mainly in Jerusalem, but also up in the Galilee. The rulers of the land were all occupiers. They were all visitors. And when they visit, they didn't treat the land as their own because it wasn't their own. This is why it was so neglected and derelict. And only when we came back, you see how we turned this desert into a blooming fields, how we turned the swamps in the Galilee into really beautiful land. Because it is ours, to keep, and we have responsibility. And everything we do here, whether we toil the land, whether we develop new technologies, and I'm very proud that Israel is at the state of the art, at the cutting edge of technology, whether we defend ourselves, everything we do, whether some of us know it or not, we do it for His name. And this is why I am so confident that we will stay here. You know, we were attacked and we're still being attacked. You know, we were here 70 years ago. There were only 600,000 Jews. Only 600,000 Jews here in the land. By the way, it's the same number of Jews that left Egypt with Moses. Same number, 600,000. And we were surrounded by 100 million hostile Arabs, who the first day of independence or re-independence that the first prime minister of Israel, Ben-Gurion, declared, they attacked us. Seven armies, five countries and seven armies. You would think that, you know, we would not have a chance. Nobody in the world thought we had a chance. Even the United States, our best friend and ally, did not want to give us a chance because all the bureaucracy, whether it was the CIA, the Pentagon, the State Department, all the advisors of the president, President Truman at the time, told him, there is no chance. They will not survive even one day. Why should the United States spend its political capital, its prestige? You know, you have 100 million Arabs with all the oil. We need them. We need their markets. Don't do it. But Truman, again, he overruled the entire bureaucracy, the entire administration. George Marshall, a revered chairman of the chief of staff, chairman of the chief of staff in World War II, which was then the Secretary of State, threatened to resign. That did not deter Truman, and he recognized Israel. And lo and behold, not only this country won the war, not only it survived, but it has thrived. And if we just fast forward to where we are today, there are more than 6 million Jews here in the country. We are now a nation of almost 9 million, and we are growing all the time. And our birth rate is the highest among the Western countries. Trees. Israel is the only country which has more trees today than it had 50 years ago. Most countries today have less trees than 50 years ago. So you see, everything is going to the right direction, and we did that in spite of all the attacks. We did not have one day of respite, one day of peace. And we had to really survive the wars of 56 and 67 and 73 and 82 in Lebanon. And of course, all the radical Islam terrorism and the Palestinians who have tried to drive us out and to kill us every time they can. And we still stand tall. The Palestinians today who have realized that they cannot take us on militarily and they cannot take us on economically. They tried boycotts, but the Israeli economy overcame these boycotts. They're doing now, they're changing tactics. And their tactic today is a political warfare, what is called BDS, if you've heard about this term, which is of boycotts and sanctions on Israel, trying to isolate us, to render Israel a pariah state, to undermine our legitimacy, to really make us weak. And this is where the theater is now. But just as we won and survived the other wars, we're going to survive this. It's not going to be easy. It's an uphill. We are way, way outnumbered, but we are safe. and we are confident. Not only that, you know, we have tried throughout the last 70 years, but especially since 1993, the Oslo, when we really bent over backwards to give the Palestinians something, even though it's not their land. But we recognized, you know, that there are people here, and also by God's order, you know, you have to really treat the stranger, those who are not of the land, who live with you, the same way. And we have tried to do that. But you cannot do it when they attack you all the time. Basically, in 1948, the war was a civil war because Palestina, or Palestine, which was an administrative unit controlled by the British, the UN decision was to partition the land to an Arab, and I quote, to an Arab land and a Jewish land. The Jews were very happy to take this very sliver of the land. The Arabs refused, and they attacked us. And we were all lived together, so it was a civil war. The Arab Palestinians attacked the Jewish Palestinians. And of course, the end is known. I think to myself, had the Palestinians at that time, they were not called Palestinians at the time, there were other Arab Palestinians and Jewish Palestinians, had the Arab Palestinians accepted this compromise, we wouldn't be here today. Because if you saw the contour of Israel, how vulnerable its borders were, much more vulnerable than they were even now in 67. And I'm not sure that we could have kept this country going. So I'm thinking to myself, why did the Palestinians or these Arabs refuse such a generous offer? And I say it's because of the Lord, that God hardened their heart just as he did harden the heart of Pharaoh. Remember, Moses, let my people go. And Pharaoh did not want to let up. And this was also part of God's plan. Because God wanted us to know that it's not Pharaoh who was letting us go. It was God's might, mighty arm that let us free. From bondage to freedom, back to our land, the land of Zion. And today, it's the same thing. It's the same thing every time we come with offers and more offers to the Palestinians, they refuse. They want exclusivity because they know if they deny, if they sever the connection between the Jewish people and Jerusalem, there is nothing for us to do here. There's going to be a slippery slope. We may as well go anywhere else. He knows that if he takes the heart from the body dies. So from now on, we have wisened up, and we have wisened up in time. Again, it was not up to us. And the lesson is that it is not up to us to give Jerusalem. So if I sum everything up and I look today at the original picture, and you know the original picture is a mess. You know that for the last 7 years, we have this tumult in the Arab world. They kill each other.
Thanks, Kevin, for that enlightening discussion from Danny Ayalon during Israel's 70th birthday celebration in Jerusalem. Well, our time's almost up for this week. And coming up, we'll hear from David Nekrutman with this week's Bible on the Go. But first, another visit to the CFIJ News Desk and David Milburn.
Thanks, Ben. A naval barrier designed to thwart a potential infiltration of a Hamas terror cell into Israel through the Gaza-Israeli maritime border is expected to be built by the end of this year, 2018. Defense Minister Lieberman said this is an additional strategic setback for Hamas, which has lost another capability. The barrier will be erected on top of a breakwater and is designed to serve as an impregnable breakwater that will be built to withstand hostile weather conditions at sea and to serve both beachgoers and Israel's defense establishment for years to come. The obstacle will consist of three components: an underwater level topped by a layer of stone and a barbed wire fence along the crest. The entire barricade itself will be surrounded by another fortified fence. The decision to erect a naval barricade was made after a terrorist cell managed to infiltrate into Israel from the sea during Operation Protective Edge in 2014. Since the operation, an underwater sensor system has been spread along the maritime border with the northern Gaza Strip, enabling the IDF to spot divers and swimmers in the area. It is tested every few weeks by army exercises and experiments that improve its capabilities. Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman said that the barrier would deny Hamas the strategic capability of using the sea to infiltrate Israel. The new naval barrier will in fact continue the 64-kilometer underground barrier along the Gaza Strip border from the Enav settlement to the Kerem Shalom border crossing. Now, before we return to Earl and Ben, here's David Nkrutman with this week's Bible on the Go.
There are people in my life that have impacted me who are still living, and the sages of the past. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel is one of those people who I've never met personally, but his words continue to inspire me even to today. He is famous for walking with Dr. Martin Luther King from Selma to Montgomery during the height of the civil rights movement. And while he was walking, he comments that his legs were praying. How can walking be prayer? It struck me. It was something that was like a wow moment, because I always thought of prayer as a list of requests I need to approach God about. And hey, this is what I need in my life, a nice car, house, health. But Rabbi Heschel taught me something very profound, that prayer is nothing about you. It's everything about God. But in order for that to really happen, you have to contract your ego and allow God to come in. This actually was very profound for me when I rediscovered Psalm 69:13. But I pray to you, Lord, in the time of your favor, in your great love, O God, answer me with your sure salvation. The beginning words, but I pray to you, in Hebrew is va'ani tefilati, literally translated, I am prayer. What does that mean, I am prayer? How do you become prayer? That has to happen at the moment where your ego, self-centeredness, is totally out of the picture, and you're in the state of God. This is David Nkrutman with Bible on the Go.
Thanks, David. Well, that's our show for today. We hope that you've enjoyed the program, everybody, and thanks for joining us. And please don't forget to support this station, because this station supports Israel.
And before we go, we want to remind you to please pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And let me remind you to join us on this station again right here next week as we bring you all the latest from Israel and the Middle East.
So for now, on behalf of the entire staff of Front Page Jerusalem, I'm Earl Cox, reminding you that because God loves Israel, I do too.
You've been listening to Front Page Jerusalem. For more information, go to frontpagejerusalem.com. Front Page Jerusalem is brought to you by Christian Friends of Israel Jerusalem, making a difference in Israel one life at a time. Front Page Jerusalem is a production of Level E Media Incorporated.